Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53. Now I've made a new friend today, little Phoebe, all the way from Leicester. And she's climbed up in that little van a few times there, and she helped me with my sermon this evening. And I was wrestling with the Lord, trying to figure out what to preach on this evening, and she helped me. And she quoted for me Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 6. Isaiah 53 is a very well-known portion of Scripture written more than 700 years before Jesus came and walked on this earth, but yet it was written about Jesus. And I want you to look at those first six verses with me. I won't embarrass Phoebe and ask her to get up here and quote it for you, but boy, she did it so well, and the Lord really used her. In fact, I'm going to have a little bone to pick with her father and mother. They made her get out of the van so I could study before the meeting began. They didn't realize, did they, Phoebe, that you and I had something going on? We were working on something there, but that's okay. Look at the first six verses, if you would, please, of Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He, this is speaking of Jesus, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Look at verse number 6. This is the verse I'd like to draw your attention to this evening. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look at that verse again. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Those first two words are very interesting words. I want you to think about those for a moment. All we. That's kind of a strange way to talk. You wouldn't really say all we. All we. All who? Who is Isaiah the prophet talking about? Well, he's telling us about a universal problem. We're in the midst of a universal problem in the world today, and people think the real problem in the world, they think, is the coronavirus, and it is no doubt a problem. But most of us would agree that there's another problem even deeper than that, and that problem is quite shocking, because here we are in 2020, and we still, after all of our scientific advancements and after all of our education, we still have hatred and cold, hard rottenness at the heart of mankind. Racism, hatred, murders. Here we are, the most educated era of human history. More information today than ever before. And yet we're just as rotten as ever. It used to be for a long time, and we go out to the city center every Saturday to speak to people about Jesus. And it used to be for a long time, for many years, people would try to argue that the world is getting to be a better place. And they would say, well, the world is a much, much better place. And well, there are some better things like microwaves and things like that, which may not be so bad, good after all, we find out. Oh, cars, automobiles, that makes the world, that's what sometimes the way people think, isn't it? Microwaves and automobiles. And oh, we do have hospitals, that's a good advancement, yes. and medicine and education. But after all of those things, we still are living in a world with people who are just as broken as ever. You can't legislate hatred. It can't be done. You can't have laws and try to enforce and try to make people believe certain things or think certain ways. Now, you can try, and people have done a good job at that, teaching children from a young age. Hitler learned that principle, didn't he? And it's not a new principle. In just about every country, people have picked up on it. If you can grab a child when they're young and begin to teach them, tell them something over and over and over again, then finally they'll start believing what you've told them, whether it's true or not. And so you might be able to try to direct people's thinking like that, but at the end of the day, you can't change somebody's heart. And here we are, after all of our education, after all of our advancements in freedom, we're just as rotten as ever. And this one verse talks about the universal problem in the world. All humanity. And not just all humanity, but all of us, all we, you included. Because let's be honest, it's very easy sometimes to sit on a sofa and look at the television screen and say, oh, look how bad those people are. It's easy to think about all the darkness and all the badness and all the wickedness happening around the world. But when's the last time you said, no, all we, myself included? When's the last time you were honest enough to say, I am actually a part of the problem also? Not everybody else. You see, that's the way we like to look at life. All we, us, not just all of them, but all of we and all of me. Here's our problem. All of us have gone astray. There is a natural, universal problem amongst humanity. We are born running in the wrong direction. We've gone astray. We've wandered out of the way. The word to go astray literally means to err. We have erred, taken a wrong turn, taken the wrong fork in the road, you could say. I wonder this evening, have you wandered from God? Have you gone astray? Have you taken a wrong turn in life? You say, well, I'm here on the field tonight listening to you. But perhaps you've wandered astray. Maybe you yourself have erred. Where have we gone wrong? That's the good question. Maybe you're thinking tonight, sitting there in your chair, well, how have we gone astray? Where have we gone wrong? Would you look this way? Let me tell you, the scriptures say we have turned everyone to his own way. Where did we go wrong? Where did humanity get it wrong? Well, the scriptures say all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And herein lies the problem. We have turned away from God and to our own way. We want to sing with Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. We want to be able to say that I'm going to do my thing and nobody's going to tell me different. Isaiah the prophet wrote in the second chapter in verse number 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out or cut them out, carved out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. How have we gone astray as humanity? Well, here, look here. First of all, we've forsaken God. We don't need him. And very often we get up in the morning and oftentimes we live our life all through the day as if God doesn't even exist. We don't talk to God. We don't tell him our difficulties. We don't pray to him. We don't ask him. We go on. We act as if everything depends upon us, upon our strength and our efforts and our wisdom, our guidance, and we live our life as if God is not even there. We've forsaken him. And perhaps you have never really considered God. Jeremiah said, we've forsaken God, the fountain of living waters. We've walked away from the source of life. We have turned from the fountain of living waters, and we have cut out cisterns, pots. We thought that we were more clever than God. And we as men, as broken men and imperfect man, and our thinking is not quite what it ought to be. We've figured out in our own minds, well, if I make myself a big pot, I can put water in the pot and I can go anywhere I want to go. And then I don't have to stand right here by the fountain. I don't have to stand next to God. I don't have to go God's way. I can go my way if I make myself a pot and carry water. But the scriptures say you've made yourself cisterns that don't even hold water. You think they do. You think you're going your own way. You think you're very clever, but the truth is all of your plans and schemes and ideas are full of holes. In your way that you have developed and you've made up that you think is spot on the money is actually full of cracks and holes. And that's why you're so empty inside. That's why every day you wake up, you're searching, looking, because you're empty. You've walked away from God, the fountain of living water, and tried to figure it out yourself. You're going your own way. We have left the only true way to go after our own way. You see, we find in Isaiah, this is speaking about Jesus, our Savior, and Jesus is the only way to find satisfaction in life. I came to know the Savior when I was 18 years old. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My mother was a believer and had some Christian principles, and she certainly did her best, but just because somebody is a Christian doesn't mean the home is a Christian home, if you know what I mean. And so I tried everything that the world had to offer because I knew I was longing for something. Oh, I was quite successful in the world's eyes, you might say. I was okay at my schooling and my education, and I was popular amongst my peers, and I was athletic, and all of those things that young people think will bring them satisfaction only brought me emptiness. I moved from one thing to the next, trying to find something that would satisfy the longing within. We sing a little song sometimes. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. The Lord Jesus is the only way to satisfaction. He's the only way to filling and fullness. You've forsaken the fountain of living waters. And Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the only way to God. You see, when you walked away, all we like sheep have gone astray. When you got out of that way, you got out of the only way that leads to God. The scriptures say in Matthew chapter 11, neither knoweth any man the Father. No man knows the Father save the Son, except the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Nobody knows the Father except the Son, and to whoever the Son will reveal the Father. And that means this, that you can't know the Father without the Son. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am that way to the Father. I am that way to eternal life. I heard a story about an event that took place several years ago in this country. There was a dirty little boy from London. He was a street child living on the streets, probably, oh, I don't know what era it was, but very poor. And he got it in his mind that he wanted to see the king. And he knew that if he could just get to the king, all of his problems would be sorted, and he'd be able to care for his family, and all of his needs and all of his wants would be met. And so he decided one day he's going to march right up into Buckingham Palace, right into the throne room and see the king. So here comes this dirty little boy straight for the gates of, like this dirty little boy here. No, I'm just kidding. That's my son. But right to the gates of Buckingham Palace. That'll teach him to get up again in a minute. No, I'm just teasing. Right to the gates of Buckingham Palace. Marching determined he's going to see the king. And of course the guards stopped him. No way was that little boy going to walk in to see the king. And they pushed him aside, who's this dirty little street child. And the boy tried again and again and again, and he kept getting pushed to the ground. And finally the boy sat down defeated, and tears ran down his dirty little face. And as he sat there crying next to the gates, to the entrance of Buckingham Palace, a young man smartly dressed walked up next to him and put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Lad, my lad, what's wrong?" The boy said, "All I wanted was to see the king." The young man reached down and grabbed hold of that dirty little hand. The boy stood up. And the young man proceeded to walk through those gates at the entrance of Buckingham Palace. And as he got near, the guards straightened up a little bit more and moved out of the way. And in marched that young man with the little boy up the steps of Buckingham Palace into the throne room and into the very presence of the king. You see, that smartly dressed young man was the prince, the king's son. And of course, If you've got a hold to the hand of the Son, then you have access to the King. And it's no different today. If you want access to God, if you want to know God, Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And so Jesus wasn't arrogant when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He was being truthful. I am the way to the Father. I am the truth, and I am the life. But we often want to join old Frank Sinatra, don't we? Oftentimes we just want it our way. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Like sheep. Think about that for a moment. We all like sheep. But what did Isaiah mean when he said that? Did you know that sheep, we've got a farmer here today. I won't embarrass him. But we've got a farmer. I had a couple of farmers here this morning. We've got a farmer today, and he knows all about sheep. Sheep are headstrong. There's another word that starts with an S I won't say because the children might fuss at me. But sheep really are mindless, headstrong. They just are absolutely morons, you could say. And boy, they've got it in their little pea brains. Sheep naturally wander. Constantly wandering. They naturally are going out of the way. And sheep have no sense of direction. Look here for a second. Sheep have no sense of direction, so that when they do stray away, they have no idea how to get back. Now look here for one moment. Some of you have strayed away tonight, and you just don't know how to get back. You ever felt like that? We're like sheep. In our tiny little thinking, we think we know best. We think the grass is greener over there, and we think we know better than God, and so we go astray, but when we get there, we find out we've got it all wrong, and now we don't know how to get back. And we end up over there for far too long because we can't figure out how to get back to where we come from. That's why he said we're like sheep. And perhaps some of you tonight have gone astray. And so we say, well, somebody who's there in the fold with the shepherd, some people say, well, just come home. Maybe you've said that before. But if you are the sheep who's astray and somebody says to you to come home, you say, how? I want to come home, but I don't know how to come home. And the truth is you can't come home because you're lost. You're on your own. You've taken your own way, which is a way that leads to destruction, a way that leads to hell. And not only have you just gone astray, it's not like, oh, you've just wandered out of the way and so you can wander back in. No, in wandering away, in turning your back on God, you have sinned against the holy God who loves you. In your wandering, in our going astray, in our rebellious stubbornness, I'm going to do it my way, we're flying in the face of God. And so even if we were to come back, we'd be in trouble. So what do we do? Well, in this one verse, you have a universal problem and then a universal solution. What do you mean by that? You mean that this is a solution for everybody? Well, it is for anyone who will simply believe it. I am not a universalist in the idea that I believe everybody's going to be saved, because I know that's not true. The Bible's very clear on that. But I will give this offer of the gospel universally. And so we have all gone astray like sheep, but look at the next few words. And the Lord, that's Jehovah God, hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Do you know that little verse is very interesting? It begins with the three-letter word all and ends with the three-letter word all. Did you ever notice that? All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We have the universal problem and also the solution all in one verse. We've all gone astray. We've all wandered out of the way. And the one solution, the only answer for our wandering and our going astray. I love that little hymn. Maybe you know it. Come thou fount of every blessing. I won't sing it for you. We might empty the field if I do. But the last verse says this. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You feel that way? The Lord and the Lord hath laid on him. God has put something on Jesus. What did God lay on Jesus? The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Of who? The iniquity of who? The sins of who? Who did the Lord lay the sins of upon Jesus? Well, the same people that he's talking about at the beginning of the verse. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The same people he's talking about at the beginning of the verse are the ones he's talking about at the end of the verse, the ones who've gone astray. And can I tell you this evening, our only hope of rescue comes because God put your sin on Jesus Christ. You can't find your way back. You are so far gone. You are so lost in your sin that you couldn't find your way back if you had the best sat nav on earth. You're lost. You can't find your way back with the best four-wheel drive vehicle on the planet. You are lost. Helplessly, hopelessly lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul writes and says, "For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Jesus knew no sin. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What happened when God put your sin on Jesus? Here's what happened. God took your sin, placed it upon Jesus so that Jesus would pay the penalty for that sin. And then he took the righteous account of Jesus, which was sinless and perfect, and put it on all those who will believe. An exchange was made. And you were given an account that isn't yours. We refer to that, a fancy way of saying it, is imputed righteousness. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You weren't a good boy and washed away all your sins. No, no, no. It was the death and sacrifice of Jesus who died in your place as your substitute. He earned it. He paid the penalty for your sin, and then he took his spotless account and gave it to you. It's almost like you being in a classroom taking an exam, and you swapping. You flunked, you failed, and the fellow next to you passed, ace, 100%. As you swapped exams, the fellow next to you put his name on yours, failure. And then you put your name on his, perfect. That's what happened on the cross. That's what God meant when he said, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And as long as you are still out there in left field trying to find your way back home and trying to do it all yourself and trying to make yourself a better person, and I meet people all the time who say, "Well, we just got to better ourselves as humanity." Well, look where it's gotten us in 2020. We're still dealing with racism. Still dealing with murder and human trafficking worse than ever. Worse than ever. Because we're trying to figure it out ourselves. And the truth is, if you want to find your way home, submit to grace. Yield to God's grace. Yield to the kindness and goodness of God. Wave the white flag and say, "God, I can't do it anymore. I'm lost." I'm reminded of Luke chapter 15, one of my favorite parables. One of my favorite, probably my favorite parable in all the New Testament. Jesus talks about the lost son, the prodigal son. But before he gives that parable, he gives two others. And he says in Luke 15 and verse 4, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing." You read the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son goes astray away from the father, goes out and lives like a wild man recklessly, spend all of his father's inheritance. And then all of a sudden one day he's eaten with the pigs and he looks up and he says, "What am I doing here? How did I get so low? How did I become so depraved?" And he says, "Hold on, my father has servants that are eating better than this. I'm going to go home." And he got up and he went home. I was preaching that passage on the prodigal son in the Netherlands last year. And at the end of the meeting, I said, "Come home." One boy came to me and he said, "I have a question for you," at the end of the meeting. He said, "Why is it that in the story of the lost sheep, the shepherd goes after the lost sheep, but in the story of the prodigal son has to go home to the father?" He said, "Which one is it?" I said, both. What do I do? I'm lost. Well, let me tell you, do what the only thing a lost sheep can do. I won't ask Adrian to get up here and explain all the ins and outs of sheep and lost sheep, but the only thing a lost sheep can do is cry out. The only thing a lost sheep can do is open that little mouth and with as much gusto as possible, make as much noise as they can. And can I tell you something? Your only hope of being saved tonight is you opening up your mouth and crying out for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Acknowledging, admitting, I'm lost. I don't know where I am. I don't know how to get back. I don't know where to go. And cry out for God Almighty, for the shepherd, for the master, to come and rescue you. You see, the crying of the sheep helps, enables the shepherd find his way to the sheep. It's a beautiful thought. What about you tonight? Would you look this way? What about you? Are you saved? How long are you going to wander astray? How long are you going to live in the wilderness, your soul starving? How long are you going to carry on like this? How long? In this passage, we find the answer. The Lord hath laid on Jesus. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You see, when Jesus hung on the cross, he paid for my sins and for yours if you'd only believe. Cry out to him. This problem that we have is not just a little problem you can shrug off. It's a problem that will destroy you. It will destroy your life. It will destroy your eternity. We all have a sense and understanding that there's more than what is happening right now. And perhaps tonight you're lost. Your hope is in Jesus. Look to him. Cry out to him. Jesus said, I will not cast anyone away who comes to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He won't turn you away if you come. If you come. But your pride will carry you to hell if you don't humble yourself and acknowledge you're lost. I think it's quite silly for a sheep to go out there thinking he's bold and he can handle himself. Can you imagine a little sheep out in the middle of the field all by himself, away from the shepherd, away from the fold? You can imagine how vulnerable that sheep is. And that's the way we are, in our own way, in our own path, thinking we don't need God, thinking we can do it ourselves, just as vulnerable, waiting, just there, pray. Easy targets. I wonder if you'll come to Jesus today, if you'll humble yourself and cry out for mercy. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, if you don't allow the Lord Jesus to deal with your sin, then you'll stand before God one day and have to deal with your sin yourself. One man said to me in the open air a week ago, he said, well, isn't it, why don't we just all have to deal with our own sin? That's the right thing to do. I said, oh, yeah, that's definitely the just thing to do, absolutely. But you don't want to deal with your sin. You don't want to have to face the penalty of your sin. The scriptures say that the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. That's why we die. Every time somebody dies, it's a reminder that something's not right in this world. Every time somebody gets sick, it's a reminder that something's not right in this world. The wages of sin is death, but not just physical death, but a spiritual death. A death of that soul, a casting of that soul into an eternal hell. And so for us to say, for that man, and we had a lovely conversation, by the way, for that man to say, why don't we just all pay for our own sin? I said, you don't want to do that. And you don't have to do that. You don't have to. But if you refuse Jesus Christ, if you refuse the invitation of the Savior, then you will. Will you come to him tonight? Will you humble yourself and admit all we like sheep have gone astray? Will you confess? Will you acknowledge and believe that God has put your sin, upon the Savior so that they might be washed away, that you might be pardoned, forgiven, made right in the eyes of God. Will you come to him tonight? Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come this evening confessing, acknowledging, admitting we've gone astray and we can't get ourselves out of this mess. We need thee, Lord. All we can do is cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. All we can do is ask and believe that we shall receive. All we can do is call upon the name of the Lord. Master, we perish. All we can do is beg and plead for grace and mercy. Oh, Lord, help us to cease from our labors for trying to get our way out of it all and yield to grace, believing and understanding that only grace, only the goodness and kindness of God can deliver us from the mess that we've gotten ourselves in. Only the precious shed blood of Jesus, our Savior, can wash away the sins that have made us enemies with thee. Father, I pray for the ones tonight who are wrestling within, those whose souls are being weighed in the balances even right now. Lord, help them tonight to realize Jesus is standing with arms wide open. May they run to him. Father, I pray for the believer who's wandered astray, who's backslidden in heart. Father, truly, we are prone to wander. We ask of thee, bring us home, Lord. Bring them home. Deal with everyone in a way that would honor and please thee the most. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.